I hope you're here because you want to be. You made a choice. And because of that choice, here you are. Here we are. Do you remember? It used to be so simple. We knew what it was and what it wasn't to be a Christian. We knew that it simply wasn't enough to say, I'm a good person, or that classic, I've nothing against the church, or my wife goes to church, or I like watching songs of praise, or I was baptized as a baby, or I used to go to Sunday school, or of course I was married in church, or even I believe in God. Admirable though these attitudes and practices might be, commendable enough though they are, even very early on we knew that they were different from what being a Christian was. They might help you towards understanding what being a Christian was about. They might even nudge you in the direction of faith. But being a Christian was about some kind of choice, some kind of commitment, some kind of stance that we take. We aren't Christians like we're Scots or English or Irish or Welsh just because it's in the air or we were born into it. We're Christians because we decide to be. It's not accidental, but deliberate. It's about a response we make to the offer of love, salvation, eternal life, belonging. It's about my reaction to the reality of the love of God reaching into my life with invitation and summons. Of course, the jargon gets in the way. Being born again, are you saved? Have you seen the light? Have you made the leap of faith? Unhelpful, jargon-esque clichés that Christian apologists can hide behind and people on the run from God can make mild mockery of. But these images do highlight the truth that there is something we do personally to engage with the meaning of the faith and the Christ of the gospel, a personal commitment we opt to make, or not. Now, of course, we soon realise that this can be a process. We might begin by simply wanting to find out more about faith and God, church and beliefs. We may decide to explore the nature of the Christian understanding. We may sense in ourselves a need of the spiritual, a hunger for God that only encounter with God will assuage. And that journey of discovery may lead us eventually to a decision to make a commitment, even although we don't know all the answers and probably never will. But we have enough to work on, enough to make a responsible response, which in turn may be expressed through a private, quiet acceptance or a decision demonstrated through an ongoing connection with the life of the people of God through church involvement and service. We never make a big deal of it, but it is a big deal. In our heart, we count ourselves in rather than out. We place ourselves by action, practice, and gradually growing conviction on the Lord's side. We haven't gone forward at an evangelical rally or offered our testimony in a public context, but we're there, we're here, worshipping, learning, serving, growing in understanding, because at the deepest level, this is where we are and who we are, and this is the faith, the worldview, the interpretation of our lives and of the reality we encounter that we're coming to believe with ever deeper certainty. Or our choice of the Christian way might have been expressed through a public profession of faith, through a communicants class leading to confirmation or some other demonstration of witness that pins our colours to the mast in one brave gesture for all to know and see. Now, for many people fortunate enough to have been brought up in the life of the church and who have supped for as long as they can recall at the table of faith, there may be actually no moment of blinding commitment, no 1 hour of any one day that they can pinpoint as their moment of choice. It might only be that they once sang a hymn that addressed the issue of commitment, and they sang it as for themselves, for their life, from the heart. And they said a quiet amen to its meaning. Yes, this is who I am. This is where I'm at. a believer blessed in always having believed, part of the family of God since the moment of my baptism as a child, and I've never cut myself off from that, and I'm glad to be a Christian, though I'm not able to recall when I didn't feel as if I wanted to be one. Dramatic and public, or intensely intimate and internal, gradual or sudden, actually it doesn't matter, as long as it's real and it's personal. This is who I am, this is who I want to be, one of Christ's followers, hesitant or confident, knowing a lot or knowing only a little, well down the road or just beginning, holding firm or clinging by my fingertips. This is my choice to be his, rather than not to be his. We don't need to know everything there is to know about faith and God and religion, just to feel in our soul that it's true, that he is true, and we choose to be his. Enough, not everything, just enough. Nor is it a decision which, once made, keeps us in some kind of static, protected bubble state of conviction and commitment. Of its essence, commitment is a place that needs to be revisited, a decision that, once made, needs to be confirmed and affirmed again and again, because we're all in process, our life, our faith, our works in progress. When John Bunyan wrote his faith classic Pilgrim's Progress, it was a work of fantasy with giants and hobgoblins and dragons and battles for the soul. But it was a fantasy based on harsh reality, because for the Christian, we are always in transit, drifting in and out of our commitment, drawn away from it, lured away from faithfulness, tempted to abandon it, forget our first love, draw back from our initial enthusiasm, opt for the lowest common denominator. Christians do get lost, do drift, do capitulate. The hymn books are full of songs that acknowledge the tendency to compromise with the ways of the world and lose the sharp edge of costly commitment. Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and his word? We have many opportunities to ask the how's it going question, to pose the am I in or am I out still issue. Am I moving forward or am I slipping back? These are good questions, important questions that we're obliged to ask ourselves, and the answers we give as we go along tell us much, offer us opportunities to make choices, to revisit old commitments that used to matter a lot to us. Critics of a narrow evangelicalism may feel that all this kind of talk leads us to end up sliding into Western individualism, dealing with a rampant I, me, mine culture of faith, where the emphasis is rather too much about personal decision, about a personal faith, and the pressure is put on individuals to decide here and now, as if the whole thrust of the gospel was to lay the burden of decision on individuals, rather than talk about God and his love and his provision. But we know the whole thing is about God's commitment in the first instance, his costly, unwavering commitment out of love to us, and that it's God's commitment that lies at the heart of the faith we espouse. And the commitments we make, we love because he loved us first. This is the rock and the foundation of our stumbling, half-seeing commitment. There have been many faults in my ministry over the years, but the chief one I'm aware of is a bit of a reluctance to call people to commitment, to offer in worship and preaching decisive moments and opportunities for people to get off the fence and get on board the gospel train. Maybe it's because I came from a church background where it often seemed that people were pressured in an unhealthy way to commit to someone else's timetable of salvation, and just because the preacher felt the time was right, everyone had to feel that the time was right for them. I was always a bit uncomfortable with that, and have overcompensated for that, maybe leaving people hanging in the air without ever offering much of a challenge to decision. I've said, it's a wonderful washing machine. I've not often enough said in a direct way, now, do you want it today? Being engaged to someone is one thing. Making the commitment of marriage is another. Moves you on to another plane of experience. thinking in vaguely positive terms about Christian faith is one thing. Choosing to make it your life force from now on is another. So while it is cruel and sub-Christian to feel that everyone can be shoehorned into some typical experience of call and commitment, it is perhaps just as cruel and sub-Christian never to challenge to commitment and decision. As if it's okay always to be swithering, never to be invited to choose Christ just as he has chosen us. It needn't be high drama, though it's always deep and precious. It could be a hymn sung for ourselves like never before. A yes moment for our life. I've thought, I've agonised, I've hesitated. Now I choose to say yes to Christ. Just as long ago, he chose to say yes to me.